This is Bob, Groz, and Tom.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio and streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Welcome, everybody. It is Bob, Groz, and Tom. We are live at Seahawks headquarters. Big day coming your way today. We'll talk some Mariner baseball. Gary Hill, Mariners broadcaster, will join us at 12:30. Get his take on what the Mariners have done in the draft to this point. Michael Bradley, of course, will join us. It's Tuesday, so every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, El Hombre joins us at the top of the hour at 1 o'clock. And as I said, we are out here with Seahawks OTAs going on. We are expected to catch up with Shaquille Griffin in the 2 o'clock hour. Saw him and his brother running around out there. I watched for a little bit.
Running around, chasing each other?
Yeah. Not chasing each other. they were broken up into groups out there doing their different drills. I caught the very beginning before I had to come back in here. So watched Paxton Lynch throw the ball a few times and Geno Smith and Russell out there throwing.
Impressive stuff?
From two of them.
Okay.
Paxton just does not look very natural. If you really watch
him, awkward.
His motion, just everything about him, there's not a
smoothness, a grace.
Yeah, it's not very smooth at all. It seems sort of mechanical and rigid, and yeah, you just watch him, you go, yeah, he just doesn't look. There's no flow to the way.
You can't have a little grace,
right?
As you know.
You can't have some grace.
You can't have some.
Either
grace.
Have grace or you don't.
Yeah, and I didn't really see it. Again, they were just working on a couple different drills. But anyway, we are out here. We're now tucked away in the closet, so we can't see what's going on out there on the field. But we'll talk to Shaquille Griffin coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. So beautiful day out there. I watched a few of the young guys out there. Saw Shaquille Griffin.
Okay.
He looks fast.
He always does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looked good out there. Saw KJ out there and saw your guy CJ Procise out there.
He is my guy.
He is
your guy.
I'm
glad you gestured towards me when you said that.
Yeah, so it's good to see those guys out there running around. But really, again, no hitting, no pads. Hard to tell.
When Shaquille comes in here.
Can't tell anything.
When Shaquille comes in here, are we going to go point blank with him? Like, what's going on?
What do you mean?
No.
We're not going to do that?
Well, you can.
All right.
No, you allow him to answer. I'll say, okay. How do you feel you played last year?
That's a good way to do it.
Hey, what grade would you?
Are you gonna look at him and shake your head as you're saying that?
How'd if you feel he you if played? He says anything above a C, I'm gonna go. Come on, man. Come on.
We love Shaquille Griffin. He's been a great guest on this show. Every week we root for him to go out there and be better.
Yeah,
is all.
Yeah, it was just. It'll be interesting to hear what he says about. You know, the change with Richard gone and Earl gone and Cam gone, and just how different it was for him in year two versus year one. So
a different position.
Yeah, he's on the other side of the field. We'll get into all of that with him in the 2 o'clock hour. Meanwhile, let's just dive right in. Shall we just lean into it? The Mariners lose again. Not a big surprise,
mm-mm.
Right? Despite the fact that they were going up against a pitcher who, again, just went three innings.
Yet they won.
I was thinking about you, Tom.
They just couldn't.
They're now, and he gave up a couple of home runs, and they're now 4-1 in games he's pitched in.
Yeah, yeah.
Bully for him.
Yeah, and your headliner, I guess you'll call him, you had an opener and a headliner. Your headliner was outstanding. Wade LeBlanc had a very nice game.
Sure
eight
did.
Innings pitched, one run. Problem was the opening act.
Yeah, the opener, well, just Mariner luck, right?
It is kind of luck. I mean, think about that.
I mean, the opener really didn't work.
Right. If Scott Service thought he was going to get that kind of performance out of Wade LeBlanc, he would have started him.
Of course.
Right. It's not even really a gamble, I guess, but it backfired. It backfired. What do you want?
It basically did. And
you could say it did. It didn't. I mean, he didn't pitch well. But they didn't get blown out of the water. They had opportunities. They stranded a lot of runners. The bats weren't there.
Right.
Bats weren't there. It's been the nature of this season when the pitching's there, the hitting's not. When the hitting's there, the pitching and defense aren't there. I mean, you're just getting all those things to converge on one night is a rare thing for the Mariners this year. It really
is. It's
become
a really rare thing.
And, you know, you gave up four total runs. You had opportunities. That's a winnable game. You couldn't do it.
Right. For teams that have a good bullpen, a good opener, a good headliner, a good lineup, a team that can hit situationally, good defense, those things are going to converge on a regular basis. Sometimes they won't, and those teams will lose 60 games a year or 70, whatever it is. In the case of the Mariners, no, you're asking too much for all of it to come together on a nightly basis.
I mean, they were
0 for 8 with runners in scoring position. They left 10 on base.
Couple of home runs. The home runs were from Smith and Encarnacion.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you couldn't get it done offensively. As much as we look at the opener and say, okay, that didn't work. You weren't blown out of the water like you were the night before, where it was 7-0 at the end of two or whatever that was. I mean, it was, you know, he gave up 3 runs. You gave up a total of 4 runs. You stranded 10. You were 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. That was a winnable game. It wasn't lost in the first, second, third inning. You had opportunities. Couldn't do it.
Or even on the worst defensive play of the year.
Yep, that's what me and Tom were talking about before the show. I think it was a beer league play.
Ashley, do you have the highlight? If you do, roll.
Mr. Gurriel swinging a ground ball to Dylan Moore. Low stab. He throws home. The shortstop throws home. There's nobody at the plate. Narvaez was halfway up the first base line, anticipating a throw to first to back it up. Omar was not even in the hitter's circle. Moore's throw went to the backstop. Nobody was there to receive it. Bregman scores from third, and it's 4-2 Houston.
I was watching it on TV, and I wasn't watching ESPN, but I bet every broadcaster sounded exactly the same.
The shock of it.
Yeah, just never even looked until the ball hit the plate, and he's like, hey, where is he?
When you heard Blauer say, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before,
yeah.
Which is the charm of baseball. As long as it's been going on and as many games have been played by these guys, you still find moments where you go, I don't think I've ever witnessed that before.
Well, didn't Scott Service talk after the game, Ashley?
He did.
Service's postgame on this.
Omar, he vacated home plate and too soon, obviously. It was a strange play. I've actually had that play happen to me as a catcher, believe it or not. Yes, same exact thing. And I learned a lesson, and I think Omar did tonight too. But, you know, the ball's hit, the first thing you're thinking is it's a double play. And Dylan actually made the right read. You know, he probably wasn't going to be able to turn a double play on that. He made a very athletic throw to the plate, and Omar just vacated too early. You got to make sure he's committed to going to second before you trail the play to go back it up.
Gone. Moore's going to his right, so he fielded the ball running to his right, threw it off balance sort of across his body.
A beautiful throw.
Perfect. It skipped right over the plate.
It was perfect.
It even had the right bounce.
Stop. It was perfect.
I was surprised to hear Service say that because, I mean, there's a runner at third.
Yeah, how uncommon is that play? You have runners at first and third, right?
Yeah, as a catcher, you don't abandon home plate with a runner at third in less than 2 outs.
Unless he sees him commit to turning the double play.
Then you can slide up the line if you want.
But wasn't the infield in? He fielded that ball basically at the lip of the grass.
He was back a little bit. He was regular depth.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it took him. That's why it wasn't a double play possibility.
Well, plus, he's running to his right, fielded it, and threw across his body. He wasn't going to be able to turn back, and I'm pointing to his second base. He wasn't going to be able to turn the double play. So Narvaez in that situation is reading the fielder, and as soon as he sees, he's not even looking at second.
And what's the point of backing up first? And that's it. If the ball sails past the first baseman, it's not like the fence there is a mile away. It's just going to bounce right back at him.
It's just a fundamental thing to do. I mean, I don't blame him for doing it. You do it most of the time, but it's just, I mean, with a runner at third, I just don't think you do.
Weird.
Or you cheat really late.
Well, you do if he commits to throwing to second. That's when you start running the first baseline.
But not until then.
Even then,
you can slide up there. I mean, Tom is right. I mean, you got the camera well and all that stuff right behind you. It's going to bounce off.
It's either going in the dugout, the camera well, or wherever. And if it doesn't, and if it stays in the field, even in foul territory, it's not like it's that far away. So I didn't understand it at all. Didn't make any sense. Worst defensive play of the year. Well, is it the worst defensive play of the year?
I think it is because it's such a...
It was so ugly and just...
Such a terrible mistake.
Wasn't an error.
I feel like we've seen worse from
Santana. Yeah, which is unbelievable. Well, he's made some bad plays.
Routine fly balls drop. I mean,
Malik Smith had a few where he took a bad angle last night and jumped late and things like that. It just struck me as it certainly was played that way on Twitter after the game as just, well, here's the Mariners season.
The optics of it.
Become.
Right. The optics of it look terrible. Literally. When you look at it, the ball just sailing over home plate, runner coming in, nobody there to get it. I mean, come on.
It was just
the utter
for the course.
The shock from all the broadcasters is another thing that jumped out at me too.
Do we have the TV call, Ashley? Go ahead and play that.
Nobody's home.
Ground ball. Dylan Moore comes home. Nobody home. Wow.
I am not sure I've seen that before.
It's just, you could just hear kind of the stunned disbelief, like, nobody's, I'm not sure I've seen that before. It just,
nobody but Scott Service, I guess.
You're just going, of course. Of course.
Do you think ESPN is glad that they made the trip up to Seattle for that play?
I think they got a lot of mileage out of it, probably.
They probably did. It was all over Twitter, for sure. I kind of flipped back and forth between the broadcasts. I heard the Dan Shulman call. He was equally shocked.
Yeah, I mean, you never even looked until the ball got there.
Yeah.
It didn't cost them the game, as you pointed out at the start. I mean, they left all those runners on base. It's not like they got another run across and lost by one. They lose 3-2 otherwise.
It was just par for the course. It was just more of ugly. It was just more of a countdown to awful.
Do you think we'll see a worse play than that going forward? This is only June, 3rd?
I think 4th? There's opportunity for it.
There is.
Certainly.
I'm afraid there is.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of fly balls hit.
There's misplaying a ball, dropping balls, and then there's just not being aware of the situation you're in. Those are two different things. And I think that's what separates last night. Right. Because it was preventable.
Well, and the catcher's the general out there.
Right. That's
the catcher's the general out there. And for him not to I don't know what was going on. I don't know if he had comments after the game. If he did, I didn't hear.
I never heard him.
But the idea that the catcher's gonna vacate when you've got runners on first and third, his automatic reaction is just to charge up the first baseline with a runner on third base. It just didn't even make any sense. You're going, what are you doing, man?
It reminded me of one of those old video games where you're trying to make the throw to first, and instead you hit the wrong button, and your player runs to first, and the ball just comes sailing. You're like, oh, man, I didn't mean to do that.
Kind of. It was just like, I understand the reaction of those guys because you have the same one at home. You're going, wait a minute, what is going on here? What
where
happened?
Is he?
And he's had those moments before. We were talking about it. Where I believe it was Bruce that made a great throw from the outfield, a play at home.
I know the play you're talking about.
And he never even turned around. He never even thought to turn to tag the runner, who he would have had out probably by a step or two. It was a great throw. He catches the ball like he's a cutoff. That's right. How he caught it, out in front of the plate, like he's cutting the ball off instead of letting it get home and looking at the play at second, or I can't remember what he was doing. Never even acknowledged that a guy was behind him coming to score. And you're just like, You can't have these lapses. You can't. You're the general out there. You cannot do that.
Not if he's the catcher going forward.
I like his bat. He's proven to be a below average catcher. He just is. I mean, you got the opposite of what you had. You had an above average catcher, a very good defensive catcher, Mike Zunino, who couldn't hit.
I sent out a tweet about a month ago saying Narvaez is better with the greater than sign, Zunino. How has that tweet aged?
Poorly.
I mean, it's true on the offensive side.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're also asking him to outdo his offensive numbers by a mile this year to keep up a pace that he's set, which is beyond what he's done.
His own career numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are his own career numbers?
Well, I mean, his previous home run high, I think, was 8.
Okay.
And he's got 9 now, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. He's been on 9 for a little while. I mean, you're asking him to if it's going to be a net increase over what you had, his offensive numbers have got to maintain the level that he's at, which is just something he hasn't done before. It doesn't mean he can't.
Yeah. Well, should we belabor this point anymore? Should we move on?
It was terrible. They lost. Not a big surprise that they lost. They didn't get their brains beaten in. And LeBlanc looked great.
He sure did.
I mean, so you got that going for you.
Which is nice.
In front of tens of people. Holy mackerel, that place was empty.
Yeah, it was.
Oof.
So does LeBlanc get another opener next time?
Didn't Service talk about that a little bit?
Scott Service did talk about that last night. Ashley, go ahead.
Oh, yes. I would consider doing it again, no question about it. It has a little bit different feel to the ball game, but, you know, I think it, you know, as far as it working, certainly you want to throw a zero up there in the first inning. That didn't happen. But we got a lot of our starter tonight. I'll take that every time out.
Okay, did you get a lot of your starter because he didn't start the game? Or you got a lot of your starter just because he had a good night?
Right, is the reason he went 8 innings because there was an opener who gave up 3 runs?
I guess,
tough question to answer.
You're not going to pull the plug after one time. Again, this is the season of why not. Try it again. Why not?
Maybe with a different pitcher.
There's nothing on the line here. There's nothing on the line. Go ahead. You want to try it with a different opener? Let's try it with a different opener. Let's let Felix be the opener. Who cares?
Hey, why not?
Why not, Tom? It's so the fact that they're not going to bail after one moment, if he feels like that's why LeBlanc had a great day, then do it again. See what happens. Why not?
I do like the logic of it. As I was explaining it to Constance last night, it was kind of making more sense in my head. But, man, when you get that kind of has any team who's ever used an opener gotten that kind of performance out of the next guy who came in? Eight innings after that?
Out of the headliner?
Right, the headliner. I mean, that's just be unprecedented.
Well, it is in Mariner history. It was the longest and best relief outing ever.
Yeah. So there's that, too. And they technically didn't commit an error last night, which is pretty impressive.
How do they not give him an error on that?
Who do you give it to?
Choice. It's a fielder's choice.
Right, but there was nobody there to field it.
I don't know.
Who would you give the error to?
Narvaez.
For making but he didn't make a bad. He didn't commit an error.
Yeah, he did. He ran away.
He ran away from the ball.
Sure, he did.
Your job's to catch the ball. You're a catcher.
When there's a play there, you got to catch it.
Meanwhile, in addition to that, I actually sat in front of the TV and watched some of that Major League Baseball draft.
Hit me.
You're kidding.
Not a joke. I was telling Tom today. I tried. I was like, okay, let me check this out. Let me try to get into this.
Can I ask you a question? Because I watched it when they maybe 2 years ago when they had a crowd in there. We're trying to pump up things. Did they have a crowd in there?
There was a crowd in there, yeah. You heard some clapping. It was it was our guy Greg Amsinger does a great job, Harold Reynolds, and two other guys who I can't remember their names. But it's, it is light years away from the NBA draft, the NFL draft. I don't know how the hockey draft goes, but it'll never be in the same hemisphere as those because you don't know these players. You don't. Half of them are high school kids. Half of them are from colleges you've never heard of. So to sit there and pretend, oh man, great pick, love that kid. You're saying that because you read what somebody wrote about him.
You're also not going to see them right away.
Or you listen to what somebody said about him. You've got no working knowledge of these kids. You wouldn't know if they were standing next to you. So the idea that hey, this kid dominated over at some directional school in the South, or he's from East blah 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 high school in the South. I was like, okay, they couldn't be more faceless and anonymous. So you're just relying on the scouts and relying on what you hear about them.
What difference does it make even if they pitched at Arkansas?
Well, maybe
which
you've
is one
seen
of their
them.
Guys. I mean,
maybe
here?
You've seen them. I don't know
how
you've got a better chance of seeing them than some random high school kid.
College baseball.
You've got a better chance of seeing a kid from Arkansas than Joe Schmagegi from East. Something
I'm
high
saying
school.
I'm saying that they're basically all invisible.
That's the point. But at least I guess if you're a college baseball fan, I imagine there's some out there. There's a chance you happened upon this kid if he's playing at a major university.
Devil's advocate
versus a high school kid where you've never heard of the place he's from, the school he's from. All you've heard is
aren't 95% of the guys who are drafted in the NFL though kind of the same thing. We haven't seen those guys play, most of them.
There's two differences with that. And the same thing with the NBA. The NBA is now half the players are international. You haven't seen them play at all. But they're going to play right away.
Mm-hmm.
When the NFL, you draft those guys, and they're at training camp, the rookie camp is a week later or something like that. I mean, they're a part of your future immediately.
Yeah, these guys.
Some of these guys may never, ever see the major leagues.
Yeah, I was telling Tom, ask in 2 years if you'll remember these names.
Well, we probably will because we are in the midst of a rebuild. If the Mariners were already a competitive team, we wouldn't be talking about this at all. We'd skip right over it.
Yeah.
But given that this is part of the rebuild, this is kind of the next phase of that, we do have to pay attention to it.
Well, I mean, who maybe two guys who were drafted 2 years ago.
Evan White, was he 2 years ago?
I don't know.
I mean, but
two years ago?
I don't know. We'll care about it when they come up.
And yes, that's true.
Then,
you're right.
And we'll evaluate it when, as Bob pointed out, in a couple of years, if the guys make it to the majors. But you're not going to remember where they were drafted for the most part.
Oh, plus,
no. 55 rounds.
No, it's impossible to make it an intriguing event for the fan.
I agree.
I don't think it's possible because of the lack of familiarity with just about any of these players.
You don't think even if they had some kind of lottery that the NBA has, it wouldn't add to it a little bit?
Maybe you're excited. But when they call the guy's name, you're going to go, okay.
And he's going to A-ball, and maybe he'll in 3 years be a big factor for you.
Maybe you've heard his name. Maybe these guys on the set will rave about him, which they do. They'll build up. They had Trevor Bauer giving his thoughts. They had Junior, video of Junior, assessing the talent of another player that was drafted.
Griffey Jr.?
Yeah. Yeah.
What does he know about it?
Well, they were asking him to look at the video. So he's looking at it. He's going, he's stronger than I was at that age, man. He's got a nice swing. I didn't have any power like that till I was 27. He was kind of doing that thing.
He was just looking at video of him?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. And the same with
kind of damning, isn't it?
With yeah. Bauer. Same with Bauer had done some, you know, they'd shown him video of a couple of these guys, so they had him talking about, you know, hey, this guy's only walked six guys, and he struck out 142, and, you know, that's one game for me, you know, kind of joking around about the six walks. And
did it make Trevor Bauer any more likable than he is?
Kind of. Okay. Kind of, yeah.
I mean, he is supposedly on the cutting edge, the forefront of all these new pitching analytics. He's interested in that type of stuff. So, I mean, it would make sense that he's there.
Yeah, he wasn't there. It was like, let's cut to video.
Right,
of
sure,
him.
Sure.
You know,
understood.
He's like in a cutoff sleeve T-shirt on a baseball field.
Really?
Yeah, so it was, they weren't in the studio. Junior wasn't there working as an analyst, but they had a video of him talking about, I don't even remember which player it was. But
you know, I'm not so sure that baseball needs, I mean, look, they're always going to try, but I'm not sure it's imperative that they make this into an event that even comes close to competing with the other sports.
It never will.
It can't.
Should they even bother faking it? That's kind of what it is.
The only reason why they're doing what they're doing is they have a television channel. Right. If there wasn't MLB Network, this would not be televised.
That's true.
Yeah. Period.
I don't blame them for trying. That's your product. You embrace it. You know, make it as big of a deal as you can. Make it as appealing as you possibly can. But it'll never be the event that fans are drawn to. I got to tune in to see. Because you don't watch these kids. I mean, are you crunching? What is
Sorry
it?
About that.
what do you got, cough drops?
I'm going, what is it? Is there a short in the corner here?
No short.
But, you know, just as you're watching it, as I sat there, I'm just going, okay. All right, and the next pick is in. Here comes Rob Manfred and the Reds select, blah, blah, blah. Tigers are on the clock. Okay. You know,
wow.
There's no excitement about, oh, I watched this kid at UCLA, or I watched this kid play for Alabama, or, man, this guy's a beast. I remember watching. There's none of that. You just don't have a connection at all to any of these players.
I watched the Stanley Cup playoffs, which was exciting. Without having much of a connection to the players. But at least it was something interesting.
Well, we're talking about championship-level sports
versus,
against,
which
know.
Also kind of hurts the timing of this. Is could have been an NBA game on.
Right.
And baseball views it so importantly that they play their own games.
What do you mean?
I mean, when the NFL does their draft, they're not playing during the season.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
When the NBA does their draft, it's not during the season. Major League Baseball does their draft, everyone's playing ball.
Is that because the college baseball season is ending?
I have no idea why it is.
That is kind of strange. I wonder what the chances.
Do it in the winter.
What are the chances Jerry DePoto actually lives to see these guys play for his team?
I'm guessing it's a lot like, wait, what? Say that again?
What are the chances that
Jerry DePoto
DePoto
sees these guys play? I mean, it's...
It makes it like he's here when they make it to the big club?
He's still the GM when they actually get here.
I thought you meant like he's just living to watch tape of these guys at the college level or high school level.
Well, he probably does. No. It probably is true to a degree, but I'd say it's 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at some of these guys 4 years away, maybe. So
I mean, if it's 4 years away, that means that the Mariners have to start getting better.
Yeah, they better start getting incrementally better starting next year. And the beauty is this year they're setting the bar so low it won't take much to get a little bit better next year.
Well, don't say that.
That's a good point.
Don't say that.
All right. Well, when it comes to the Mariners draft, they did pick up some pitchers. I'm sure they're all going to be fantastic. Oof. But there's one man that can break it down properly. That'd be our buddy Gary Hill from the You Hear Him on the Mariners broadcast. He's going to join us next as we continue live from Seahawks headquarters with Bob Gross and Tom on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob Gross and Tom.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It is Bob Gross and Tom. We are live at Seahawks headquarters. We'll catch up with Shaquille Griffin in the 2 o'clock hour. El Hombre. Michael Bradley joins us at 1 o'clock today. But right now, joining us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline, you hear him on the Mariners broadcast. He's a man about town. He knows a thing or two about this game of baseball, by God. And I'm guessing he's probably never seen a play like we were just talking about with Narvaez at the plate either. Gary Hill is here. Gary, what was your reaction when that play took place? Were you like in stunned disbelief, like it sounded like Blowers was and Riz and everybody going, I've never seen that before?
Yeah, no, that was exactly our conversation between innings because, I mean, it's, you know, we look around and like, I've never seen that before. And then when Rick Riz and Mike Blowers, who combined have watched a million baseball games, and that's not an exaggeration. They've games, and when they both say they've never seen it before, that's something.
It really is. But we mercifully are not going to ask you any more questions about that game. We're going to ask you a little bit about the baseball draft here. I guess my first question is, do you think that most GMs, when they're drafting, and DePoto's in, you know, he's been a couple of years in here, do most GMs live to see the fruits of their labor? Do you think that by the time we see these guys at the major league level, if things aren't working out, will Jerry DePoto even be here?
Well, that's the unfortunate thing about being a baseball GM. And it's the hard thing about baseball in general, I think, as compared to the other sports, because really, I mean, you're drafting for now, but I mean, you're drafting these guys now, but we're not going to see them 2 years at the quickest. I mean, there's a good chance where guys from this draft are not making an impact for 5 years down the road. All you have to do is look at life cycles of general managers. So I think that's true in a lot of cases where, unfortunately, that they don't get to see the fruits of their labors one way or another, which is too bad. But it's kind of the way baseball is. It's the way the draft is. It's the way – it's just the way you build a system. There's no short way to do it. There's no quick fix when you're trying to build a system. It takes time. It takes multiple drafts. It takes the right trades. It takes a lot of good work, a lot of positive work in the right direction. There's no quick fix, unfortunately.
It seems like, Gary, that college players these days are getting a little bit closer to being major league ready. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. And we've seen younger players make more of an impact, I think, more quickly than we've seen in years past. College players, I think, are a little safer because there's more of a track record there. I mean, high school, it can vary wildly. I mean, some high school kids you know just right away. I mean, you know, Griffey and Alex Rodriguez and that kind of group. And you just know they're superstars. But there's a different level where there's more risk involved. And college players, there's more of a track record, a higher level of competition. And generally, they can rise more quickly, which I think is pretty interesting when you talk about the Mariners draft in particular this year with this many college pitchers going early for the M's.
Now, Gary, you're a baseball geek, right? You just live for the sport. You love it. Did you get a chance to watch? I know the game was happening last night, but the draft started before that. So I'm wondering, I sat in front of the TV and I watched probably an hour of the draft. It's hard for a fan to get into the draft the way they do with the NFL, the way they do with the NBA, because sure. Those players you've seen, you've got some point of reference, you're familiar with them, you've seen something of them. Versus baseball, couldn't be more faceless and anonymous when you're talking about these players. Is it for somebody like you that's as invested as you are? Did you have a level of excitement? Did you know who a lot of these players were? What was your take on it?
Oh, I love the draft, but no, I don't. I mean, I've never seen anyone that the Mariners drafted yesterday in my life in person. I just haven't. I've seen some of the Pac-12 guys just because they're easier for me to see once in a while, but I haven't seen anyone the Mariners drafted in person. And you pinpointed why it's hard for the MLB draft to reach the level of the NFL draft or the NBA draft, because we've seen most of those guys one way or another on TV, or at least you're aware of who they are. The MLB draft, and it's why I'm so fascinated by it. I mean, you are talking about thousands of players at all kinds of different levels. You're talking about high school kids thrown into the mix with JC kids, with, you know, power conference guys, with small conference guys. I mean, just the sheer volume of players makes it really impossible. That, and none of these guys are going to help you like now or next year or anything like that. It's just so different than the other drafts. So I understand why the popularity isn't quite the same. I love it, but it is more about the future, that's for sure.
The one thing that they did note in this is it took a while for a pitcher to be selected, right? The first few picks were not pitchers. Does that tell you anything about the crop of pitchers? I mean, the Mariners went pitchers their first three picks. Was it considered a weak crop, or what was the thought on the pitching strength?
Yeah, I guess it's not supposed to be a deep crop when it comes to college pitchers. But, you know, that being said, you're going to get – I mean, the percentages say you will get a certain amount of all-stars, you will get a certain amount of regulars, and then you'll get the large percentage that will never make an impact. So, I don't know. I mean, those things are always – when I hear something like that, I usually don't put a ton of stock into it, because really it's just everyone's best guess at this point. what is the strength of a draft or not, and we really won't know until 5, 6, 7 years down the road. I mean, that's when all our questions will be answered one way or another, whether this was a strong class in one area or another.
One of these kids, it was Kirby. He was pitching in the Cape Cod League, which is a pretty prestigious summer league for college kids. He was a reliever, but I guess they're going to turn him into a starter. Is that something that guys go back and forth between being relievers and starters through the minors?
Well, Kirby, he was a starter in college. In Cape Cod, though, he came out of the bullpen,
right,
which is not that unusual. So, that happens from time to time. Usually, I think most of these guys that have drafted so far, I think, will be starters, at least initially in the minor league system. But it's not unusual to see guys flip back and forth. I mean, you look at most relievers in the big leagues, and kind of an exception last night with Kieran, who had never started anywhere. But usually, you look at a guy's track record in the minors or whatever, and he's got a handful of starts at some point. So it's not unusual to see guys go back and forth. I would anticipate everyone they drafted yesterday to be starters out of the gate and try and work their way to the big leagues as starters. Kirby's pretty interesting too. I've never seen, really, I know it was Elon, so it's not like we're talking SEC or Pac-12 or something like that, but the strikeout to walk ratio is pretty absurd. I mean, at any level, it's pretty ridiculous. I'm pretty intrigued by Kirby and what he can be.
Well, based on what we saw from Guerin, maybe we don't need to see him start again. How about that? Hey, Gary, we appreciate it, man. Thanks so much, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you guys.
There you go. There's Gary Hill, part of the Mariners broadcast, does a great job. And even somebody as invested into the game of baseball as he is, and he is more than most people you meet, is looking at this going, I've never seen any of these guys. I don't know who they are.
I thought it was the pitcher he talked about from Elon was the one stat that did stick in my head. He had something like 176 strikeouts and six walks.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I agree. On any level, that's pretty good.
But then you look at the kid they took from TCU, and I believe he had an ERA over 4 in a losing record. Now, the record, who knows what's going on with the offense. But when you go an ERA over 4 at the college level, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, but he's a hard-throwing lefty, so...
Yeah, it's just you can spin the numbers any way you want, I guess, you know, and say, well, look at the competition. Of course, he's only walking 6, striking out 100. All right, well, what about this kid? College competition, and he's got an ERA over 4.
Honest question, if you were to bring in that kid from Elon to be an opener in last night's situation, no major league experience, no minor league experience whatsoever, how do you think he would do?
Poorly.
Really?
Yes.
Just for one inning?
Just for one inning.
He might have it because they'd
be able to blow it by him.
They'd have no familiarity with who he was. Now, if he's...
Right.
I don't know what his stuff is. I've never even seen the guy throw the ball. I have no idea. But the lack of familiarity might help him.
Just for one inning.
Maybe.
Poorly.
Okay.
Maybe. All right. Meanwhile, we don't ever root for injuries, but there's news that does benefit the Seahawks that we read about today. We'll talk about that next in Wait a Minute What with Bob Gross and Tom, live from Seahawks headquarters on 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's Bob Gross and Tom.
Hold up. Hey, wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute.
It is Wait a Minute What here with Bob Gross and Tom. We are live at Seahawks headquarters. Coming up at the top of the hour, El Hombre. Michael Bradley will join us, as he does every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. A couple of stories for you. One that I feel like we knew, we had talked about this, as it pertained to the Rams. We were talking about, you know, predicting what they were going to be next year, and I think they'll take a step back next year, personally. I think they'll still be a good team, but I think the questions that surround Todd Gurley are legitimate and potentially problematic for the team. And you see the story come out where Sean McVay has basically said, you know, based on the wear and tear, the chronic nature of his knee, he's not going to be the bell cow. He's not going to be the every down guy out there the way he's been. And I love that they say based on the days of Todd Gurley, this is Ian Rappaport talking about it, being a straight up every down bell cow are probably over. Just based on his knee, his age, he's 24. The position and the amount of carries he's had.
Yeah, well, I mean, age is age, but at the same time, he's had those problems.
He's had some surgeries in college, so yeah, he's had injury issues. But I thought the Rams, I'm forgetting the guy's name that got at the end of last year.
Cunningham?
Yeah, who did a nice job for him. I mean,
well, and they drafted a running back in the third round this year.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I guess it's about early how they use him.
It's kind of about McVay, and then I'm just thinking about it in terms of the impact on the Rams. If he's the offensive genius that everyone says he is, he should be able to weather this, right?
C.J. Anderson, by the way,
was the guy. C.J. Anderson, that was the guy.
Look, man, this is good news for the Seahawks, though. I mean, Todd Gurley is theoretically an incredibly important part of that offense. If he's not out there every down with that threat of him running, that changes things.
Or catching the ball out of the backfield. Sure. I mean, just him not being on the field. Now, we'll see what this means, right?
Yeah, it doesn't automatically mean that. I mean, they may have their Chris Carson waiting in the wings with this third-round pick, right? I mean,
potentially. It's who was it? It was running back out of Memphis, Darrell Henderson, third round.
He had 17 touchdowns last year, Gurley.
Not saying he wasn't good.
No, I know.
I'm saying this is a challenge to McVay. If he's the offensive genius that everyone claims he is.
Well, he only carried the ball 10 times for 35 yards in the Super Bowl.
So, I'm aware.
So they, you know, they said he was perfectly healthy. There's no problems. He had 10 carries. So,
but the Seahawk fans looking at this thinking, oh, great.
Yeah,
and
sure.
This is the team we're chasing.
It's not bad news for the Seahawks, that's for sure.
Nah, and Gurley, listen, as a football fan, I want to see the guy play. I hope, you know, 24, geez. I hope his career isn't already on the downside, but he did come into the league with a major knee issue, had a surgery before he was drafted. He played part of the first year, right?
Yep.
Because of that knee. So
that phrase bell cow, by the way, is that an old phrase?
Definitely.
When it comes
to the
running back, I feel like I haven't heard it that much recently.
Well, because it's not a running game much anymore. You don't really have many quote-unquote bell cows. Guys, Marshawn Lynch was that.
He certainly was. I just don't remember using or really hearing that phrase all the time.
It's an old man phrase.
Okay.
Only old men use that.
Does it come from farming?
I'm sure that it does.
Like your bell cow is your biggest cow?
It's. I don't know if it's your biggest cow. I'm not sure exactly if it's your best, the one that all the cows follow.
The one you rely on the most.
The one that gives the most milk.
Somebody will text it.
The one that commands the most respect.
He gets a bell, though.
Da-ding, da-ding.
Meanwhile, story number two, Kawhi Leonard is suing Nike. Filed a lawsuit. Apparently he has a logo that's like his hand and then something within the hand that he designed way back. And then when he signed with Nike, they used it.
He traced his own hand on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I guess it's his claim to fame. He's got these huge hands, and he had stylized versions of his initials inside the hand, whatever. So they used it while he was with Nike. Well, he's no longer with Nike. He's with New Balance. And Nike has continued to use the logo and has basically told him, you need to cease and desist because we own that logo.
See, we're talking about this trademark thing yesterday with Tom Terrific, with Tom Brady. That's ridiculous. Why should they be able to do that?
Well, if he signed the deal with Nike, giving them permission to do it, I mean, they're not just doing it. They got. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Well, he created in college, and it said several years later, as part of an endorsement deal with Nike, Leonard allowed Nike to use on certain merchandise the logo he created, while Leonard continued to use the logo on non-Nike goods.
When you trademark something, if you're Nike, whoever's officiating that should go back to Kawhi Leonard and figure that out ahead of time. You don't just give it to the first person who asks. That's a horrible system we have.
It says, unbeknownst to Leonard and without his consent, Nike filed an application for copyright registration of his logo and falsely represented in the application that Nike had authored the logo. So
Awful. How
this is going to play out, we'll see. But there's a lawsuit going on now.
Let's do the pitching matchup.
Oh, yeah. Today's why you want to talk more Mariners?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fill your cup full of Mariner love here.
Fill your cup.
It's brought to you by Heritage Distilling. Change it up with Heritage Distilling's BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. Your matchup is
you got Wade Miley going for the Houston Astros.
Wade Miley,
5-3 with a 3.25. Man, an impressive resume he brings into Seattle.
Where was he? In Milwaukee last year?
Yeah, he was the opener in one of those crazy LCS games.
Right.
And then he's going up against Andrew Moore, former Mariner, who, according to my notes here, last pitched in the majors for the Mariners in 2017.
Wow.
I mean, he's been stuck in somebody's minor league system and released, and the Mariners picked him back up.
Yeah, they traded him to Tampa for Colomé and Denard Span. That was a great trade.
Yeah.
In cash, by the way.
Just Moore?
with Tommy Romero, who was a minor league player.
Yeah, that was a great
Then the Giants claimed him off waivers. Nothing doing there. Then the Mariners claimed him off waivers. Boom. Here he is.
And boom, he's ready to go.
So all basically, right. We got Colome, Span, and Cash for free.
For a year.
Yeah.
Hey,
they're gone.
Man, I love Denard Span. I'd love to have him back.
Colome was good, too.
Yeah, both
sure
of them.
Was.
Yeah, Span was the throw-in, and he turned out to be a very productive player for this team. All right, there you go. That's your pitching matchup brought to you by Heritage Stillings BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. Did you want to do the Mike Trout thing quickly or no?
He's really good.
Nuh-uh.
That's all I have to say about that.
Says who?
Says War. He has, as of right now...
7 years into his career.
Right, 7 years. He's 27 years old. He's got a better WAR than many Hall of Famers. Not all, but many Hall of Famers. He's at 68.2. And he's, by the week, he's gaining on guys. I mean, he's only a couple away from, he's only one away from like Robinson Cano, Tony Gwynn, Tim Raines. If he
what you're saying is if he retires today, he is a borderline Hall of Famer.
Right, I mean, he's at least on the ballot.
And getting votes.
Yes.
Yeah, if he played the Mariners every game, he'd be the best player to ever
inhabit
a baseball stadium.
Those guys had an interesting conversation about him, Blowers and those guys the other day, because Griffey, they're comparing him to Griffey, and the one thing that Trout hasn't done is hit home runs like Griffey yet.
He's not in the 40s, 50s.
It was about this point in his career Griffey started hitting 50 a year.
Right.
Hmm. All right, coming up, does El Hombre think that the Raptors have a better shot than he did last week? See what he's got to say about that and everything else going on as Michael Bradley joins us next. Here it is, Bob Gros and Tom, live from Seahawks headquarters on 710 ESPN Seattle.